Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Jeff Baker, Executive Director of BSF Enterprise, and Shay Connon, CEO of 3D Biotissues. Welcome back, gents.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, since you've last been on the podcast, you've been busy, and as per the 8th of June announcement, you recently completed a US investor roadshow at the end of June with the aims to maximize the potential of your listing on the OTCQB market and engage proactively with the US investment community to support its investor relations and corporate communications activities in the US. BSF has appointed Skyline Corporate Communications Group as its US investor relations agency. Additionally, BSF will participate in the Future Food Tech Summit in New York City to raise its profile with prospective partners and investors in the alternative protein sector. So please tell us how it went and what opportunities it could bring in the near future.
Yeah, we've had a really exciting last month, most notably our trip to New York a week ago. We did several things. One of the first thing we did was attend the Future Food Tech Conference held in the Marriott in Times Square. It had representations from across the world in terms of cultured meat and plant-based food alternatives. So all of the people were there. It was a very social event. There was lots of engagement, lots of conversations. Really, of course, the hot topics were the recent news from the FDA in terms of regulatory approval for two of the American cultured meat companies, Upside Foods and Just Eat, which is fantastic, and everyone was really excited by that. They were really pleased by how quickly the FDA had moved on that, and now they're available for in restaurants in the US, which is really, it's great for the business, it's great for the community, and it's great for the future of cultured meat. But interestingly, though, of course, in these, everyone talks about the next big challenge. You know, the things we want have to move on quite quickly, and it was really apparent that what was on everyone's lips was about texture and the texture of the meat and the challenges around creating the texture of meat. The current ones for sale have quite a soft texture, can be described as delicate. Others that have tasted it described it having the same texture and mouthfeel as tofu. But of course, this is not where we believe it needs to go to. We need the proper texture in there. We need to give cultured meat its proper bite. And so we were really excited by the fact that people are starting to talk about the things that we've been talking about, which is all about increasing the bite, increasing the texture. And our approach in 100% meat and the way that we produce our meat really addresses that challenge. So that was really good to hear, and we had some great conversations around that.
Yeah, that sounds like it's more like mush than
it's softer than you'd expect, or I would argue the consumers would really want.
Yeah, because when we tasted it, however long ago it was now, 2 months ago, I know it was only a small bit, but there was texture. I mean, I remember chewing it, you know, so there was texture. So that's obviously a good sign. So I presume it was a bit of a crazy time around Times Square, then, having been there a few months ago as well. It's not exactly the best place in the world to have all of these things. But so tell us, who did you actually meet at these shows, and in what way will that affect you going forward, do you think?
Well, we met a variety of people. They're mostly kind of C-suite individuals from these companies. So that's a great thing about that food tech festival. It's kind of small, but all the kind of important players are there. So a whole range of companies, some new, some that have been in the area for a while, made some new leads in terms of city mix. So we'll be following those up. Spoke to government agencies from Singapore, etc. That really, you know, Singapore's massively into cultured meat, and you know, from a country level, so they're really keen to follow up and do something with us. And likewise, we're also keen to do that. So, yeah, some high level discussions, but all very positive.
Good. So it was both yourself and Jeff there at the end.
Yep. No, Kevin, I was there. I was working hard.
You know,
I was staying off Times Square. I simply wasn't on Times Square, so although the hotel was. Listen, my just brief takeaways was There was a lot of debate as to whether the future of cultivated meat should be mimicking the existing meat structure and meat product that's on the market, or branch out into something dramatically different and create a new product that the consumers could embrace. I think the overall feeling through the debate in the industry is that it's better to look to duplicating meat product that's presently existing in the marketplace to get acceptance of cultivated meat as a meat product rather than try and do something too novel. And I think that's certainly our view of life in proceeding with cultivated meat. It has to be, as Shay says, it has to feel, taste, look, smell, chew exactly like the meat product at the moment before people will start to accept it and use it as a alternate product. So I think that's an interesting debate. Secondly, similar to Singapore late last year when Shay and I were in one of the more advanced food tech conferences, there were still people who were quite established in the industry surprised that we're capable and able to produce a scaffold-free meat product. And that surprises me to hear that they're surprised. Maybe it's a reflection on us and we should be getting out there more and telling the world that we're capable of producing a scaffold-free product, because there were a lot of plant-based manufacturers there that obviously focus on providing structure within a meat product that's plant scaffolding, that think that's the only way you can proceed to produce a meat product. But I do believe that our business model is right on in line with where we need to be proceeding. And I think it was a great confirmation of how we're proceeding and we're on the right track.
It does seem that what you have here is something that is very different than what everyone else is working on. And I think that is the major difference, isn't it? So, I mean, yeah, hopefully that information has penetrated the US market now and they start to see that actually there is something that's going to be meat and meat as we know it that can be basically grown, you know, because I think people, as you said, both said, that they're trying to create something that's a bit like meat, but isn't actually meat. And it takes a lot of energy and power and scaffolding to make that stuff. Whereas this does not, and it is meat as we know it, which is the phrase that you guys have been saying all along anyway. So the other point I would make is, what is the situation then in terms of the listing that's in the US now? Are we going to have some people buying in the US, do you think? I mean, ultimately, we're in a situation where if this really is a product that isn't available in the US, how likely do you think it is that the US people will start to buy it?
We had a very strong response, and that was the other latter part of the week where we spent two solid days in New York, or 2.5 days in New York, talking to 25 to 30 odd investors and brokers that had been lined up to talk to us about our business in the UK and where we're wanting to take it and how we wanted to penetrate into the US market. OTC Markets hosted us in their offices on one afternoon with a cocktail party and a presentation to about 20 odd or 15, 20 people, which again, all investors and brokers asking some quite insightful questions as to what we're doing in the business and how we're taking it forward. So OTC has got us up on their platform. What we need to do is activate the market and get brokers and investors to start buying through the US. And we're arranging that over the coming days. The frustration probably was as we left, there was the 4th of July holiday. So Friday afternoon and most of the beginning of this week has been a bit of a quiet one in the US markets. But a great level of interest. Everyone recognizes this industry is one that is critical to the future and a disruptive technology that they want to get behind and see great value in. Interestingly, there's only two, I think, companies at the moment that are listed in the US in this space. And we, another company that's almost alone as a direct business in lab-grown meat, listed in London. So the opportunities for investors are limited to get into the industry. And so they see that as being a great positive for US investors to start trading their shares.
Yeah, I mean, the other two companies that are listed on the US, comparatively, what sort of valuation are we talking about for those companies?
Well, a lot higher than ours, I'm sure. I think they're probably 5 to 10 times higher than ours. I'm not sure what stakeholders is at the moment, but yeah, considerably more.
So where do we go from here then? What's our next moves in terms of where we advance the company?
Shay, I'll just jump in and I'll let you backfill as I move forward. But listen, we're focused on revenue. We want to get the revenue rolling for our City Mix and sales of City Mix, which is going really well. And we're talking and people are researching and testing this City Mix with their own product, and I do believe that there's sales that are imminent, but you know, we'll certainly see some revenue in the coming quarter or half year we're facing. Alongside that, there's the development of leather, and we've supplied leather products to some leather companies that are testing those at the moment. That takes a little bit longer in the process. Everyone's, I know, a little bit of impatient to see results, but it's happening with good European leather manufacturer that is quite interested in this space, and we're reaching out to a lot more leather companies to see and test the interest in lab-grown leather product. We've opened up the Hong Kong office and moving forward to start to develop a Greater China strategy where we can start to develop distributors and start to sell City Mix and our technology across an IP across into that very large and expanding market. So we're increasing our sales team at the moment to really focus on selling and revenue generation, which I think we all believe is very important. You know, we've got ample cash to keep us moving along for a year or two, so there's no panic at the moment. But we also, in amongst all of that, are looking at mergers and acquisition opportunities and talking to quite a few companies that see coming in alongside 3D BioTissue would be very beneficial, and we'd be able to create a enabling technology group within BSF, as we've always planned to do when we listed the company, and start to really capture that end of the market and be a dominant force in the lab-grown meat and lab-grown leather space.
So that's exciting times ahead. I mean, I'm even a bit surprised, really, the share price has dipped. So have you any comments on that?
Well, I don't know who's selling and why they're selling. Retail investors do many things, and many of them are impatient. And you know, we're a mid to long term opportunity. We're growing. We're commercializing product. It does take time, and maybe there's a bit of impatience in the market. I don't know, Kevin. You're closer to the market than I am, so maybe you have some ideas.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. As I said, I really am surprised. You know, we're not talking about the company being worth hundreds of millions, and the IP on this really quite incredible technology. It seems bizarre, really, to be honest. But, you know, who am I to say? You know, I mean, the scenario is you raised money at 17p, and actually, it was very easy for you to raise that money at 17p. Everybody was very keen to do it. And then we dropped. So my belief is there must have been a seller or a distressed seller in the market, and has had to reduce. Otherwise, why would the share price have gone down? Situation. Yeah, I don't really understand.
There's no one in particular seller that's dropping shares on the market. It's it is still a lot of retail investors selling randomly and strangely small amounts.
Shay, give us your take on what's going to be happening over the next sort of 6 months, and then we'll wrap it up.
Thanks, Kim. Jeff's covered a lot of it. I think maybe we'll be continuing with the obviously the direct sales, but the indirect sales. So looking for further distributors. Of course, we signed up the German and Australasia distributors. We'd really like to make some moves into the US, but it's not a straightforward proposition in terms of distributors in the US. There's not one distributor. There's the broken ups that makes it a little more challenging, but that's certainly a focus. We may address some of that with our web sales channel that we're developing and hope to roll out in the coming months. So that's good. All about increasing the sales of the City Mix. The otherwise, yeah, there's the skin to leather and meat is still going on and will continue to go on. We are, you know, expanding, we're moving forward with different partners through some grant opportunities that are coming up that are in different states of completion, and we'll announce those when those are finalized. But so it's a good way of you know, moving forward without funding that commercial development through different means, basically.
Yeah, very good. I mean, I see lots of positives. If we can get the thing sorted out with the OTCB in the US, and literally, I think only a few hundred thousand dollars of buying, and we're going to be in a very, very different situation in terms of the share price. But more importantly, I think we have something that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world in terms of what you're actually trying to scientifically do and produce. And I think, you know, that's going to be the long-term winner of this whole thing, both with City Mix and also the meat. And I just want you to confirm, Jeff, I know your hands are tied behind your back and you've got sort of tape over your mouth, but this leather deal that you've done and you've had to sign an NDA, etc., we're talking about a major, major leather company here.
I've got tape on my mouth and my hands are behind my head.
About some seriously big players here in the high level market.
It's a great company. It's a great company to be doing business with. And we have continued to do business with them. So I'm not going to say anything more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I don't know who they are either, but the first scenario is, as you've said in the thing, there is not many to choose from. So take your pick, but it's one of the big ones. And hopefully that in the future is going to be massive as well. I mean, when you consider handbags, shoes, all of these different things that can be made from the skin, and, you know, they want something that is, sad to say, in this woke environment that is not affecting animals, but is still leather as we know it, and they can use it in the way that they've always used leather, this is going to be a perfect solution.
Yeah, it's a great game changer for the leather industry, that question.
Great.
Jeff Baker and Shay Connan, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.